welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. He said, they've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. He said, I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message today is especially for those who want to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm going to be sharing a message on making Jesus your first love. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. This is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, starting in verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. We serve a jealous God. His love is hot. His faithfulness in all his covenants is based on his love for us. Jesus said in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves man with a passion. He created man in his own likeness, has always provided everything necessary for life and godliness through faith in his living word. The law was given to the Jews so that they could see sin and then seek God for the living word. When the children of Israel went away from the Lord, he sent messages of repentance through the prophets. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 17, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God gave mankind free will so that he could have a deep, intimate relationship with God and make Jesus the first love. Man, however, chose to listen to the devil, remain independent from God through sin, be selfish, and live in darkness. Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The good news is the devil has now lost the keys to death, hell, and the grave, but we have to choose. Jesus was even treated as a criminal for our sakes and died on the cross so that we could choose him. The kingdom of God is here now. Jesus came to give us the Holy Spirit so that we could choose between a life of sin and a life following him. By grace, we can also finish the work he sent us to do and invite others to have a love relationship with God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, I'm reading verses 8 to 10. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, starting in verse 8. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, and bid to the marriage. Verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Originally, the marriage was just going to be for the Jews, but their rejection of Christ made a way for the Gentiles to be part of the bride of Christ as well. The wedding has been held up for nearly 2,000 years to give people on the face of the earth a chance to make Jesus their first love by grace through faith. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 18, "Of his own he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now we have the blessed hope to be part of the bride of Christ through the chastening of the Lord, and are getting ready to be married to Christ. This is available for those who are humble and willing to submit." James said in James chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. I'm reading James chapter 4, starting in verse 5. "Do you think that the scripture says in vain, 'The spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy'?" Verse 6. "But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, 'God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble.'" Verse 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." On one side, God is giving more grace for what is needed, but on the other side, he is strongly resisting the proud. Paul was speaking to the church about the Jews. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verses 20 to 22, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 20. "Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and now stands now by faith. But be not high-minded, but fear." Verse 21. "For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee." Verse 22. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise also you shall be cut off." God will resist all those born again who have a knowledge of what Jesus has done, but refuse to repent. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 29, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 26. "If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." Verse 27. "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries of God." Verse 28. "And he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Verse 29. "Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Anyone using the grace and mercy to keep sinning is working against God. They are in opposition to God and even causing others to also sin. The fire is reserved for all his adversaries. God does not have two standards, as otherwise he would not be God. David said in Psalm 40, verses 4 to 11, I'm reading. This is in the Psalms, chapter 40, starting in verse 4. "Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, but such as turn aside to lies." Verse 5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Verse 6. "Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hath thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering thou hast not required." Verse 7. "Then said I, Lo, I am come. In the volume of the book it is written of me." Verse 8. "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Verse 9. "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest." Verse 10. "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Verse 11. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. God would have destroyed all mankind a long time ago if it wasn't for his grace and mercy and loving kindness. We are the ones who determine whether we experience God's blessing or God's wrath. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 8 to 14. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above, that you be able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says this. Therefore, let everyone who thinks he stands, who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fall into sin. God is not the problem. The problem is in those who think too much and are comfortable in this world financially. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Many think they can handle temptation and go out late to places of worldly entertainment. They have a confidence in the flesh too. There is no greater priority than putting to death the carnal nature once you are born again if you want to maintain your first love. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In Christ, you will go through some chastening and overcome temptation with the help of the Holy Spirit. But if you love him, that will not be an issue. Those who are deeply in love with Jesus see these things that they have to endure for following Christ as just a light affliction. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you were first born again, you should have experienced his love personally. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, starting in verse 44. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. And that which, when a man had found it, he hid it. And for joy, therefore, goeth and sell all that he hath, and bought that field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You are the prize. Jesus is the man who bought the field. The field is the world, and Jesus is the one who found you in a muddy field. He knows your full potential. He started cleaning you up with truth. Do not see the conviction as something negative, but rather a sign that you are worth much more. Jesus came looking for you, and he found you broken and rejected by this world, and was willing to pay the price for you. He had to die for the sins of the whole world on the cross, not just your own sin. We read in John 8 and verse 34, "And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. He died for the sins of the whole world, because those who sin once keep sinning. But through the confession of sin, we get forgiveness and can make a fresh start with Jesus as Lord." John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." If you were the only person who responded, Jesus died for you to have the Holy Spirit and be useful again and take your place in the kingdom of God. You are that pearl of great price, but you need to let Jesus restore you. If he does not clean you up, you will never take your proper place and end up being useless again and rejected by the world. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 to 17, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 14. "I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Verse 17. "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever." John was writing to everyone in the church at all levels not to love the world. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Your spiritual foundation is made up of God's pure love, not human effort. If you love Jesus, you will flee youthful lust. Those actively following Christ have counted the cost to complete their salvation. We read in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 32. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them," verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Verse 27. "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." Verse 28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it?" Verse 29. "Least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him." Verse 30. "Saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish it." Verse 31. "Or what king, go to make war against another king, sit not down first and consult whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Verse 32. "Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he send an embassage and desires conditions of peace." In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7 on page 82, Joseph Hedgecott writes, Just as a builder must count the cost before starting a construction project, you must count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. If you refuse to pay the price for Jesus to become your whole life, you will never enjoy constant communion with God. You will not be able to be led by the Holy Spirit consistently. Take up your cross daily. He created you in the image of God, and He wants to do everything through you. Let go and let God. You cannot please God with ministry works that He never told you to do. You'll be tempted to do things for yourself without love and faith, and become religious instead. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." In this world there is a great demand for pure love, as it's so rare. God is love, and Jesus is the Father manifested in the flesh. Therefore, Jesus is love manifested in the flesh. He had an abundance of love, and many came to Jesus because of that love. But they were not willing to follow Him. In the Amplified Bible, Luke 14:26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his own attitude towards God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." There should be no comparison between your love for Jesus and anything in this world and the things of the world. That also includes any person in your family or a dear friend or people you associate with who have their own desires and opinions. Look at the company you keep and ask the question, how many of them are following Christ? We read in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 14. "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Verse 15. "Take us the foxes and the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes." Foxes look nice, but a fox doesn't just eat the fruit of the vine. They do much more damage. They like to gnaw on the trunk, dig holes around it, and expose the roots. Your spiritual roots are weakened when you accept the standards of the world and buy things that the world says are necessary or nice. You have departed from the truth of asking God everything because of the lust of the eyes, gone off the narrow way and listened to another voice of reason instead. You are just like Eve in the Garden of Eden. You need to repent and do your first works over again. We read in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, which was with her, and he did eat." There should not be anything in your house that you bought because you liked it. Your house should only be filled with things that Jesus wants in your house, your home, room, or apartment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 23. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 19. "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal." Verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal." Verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Verse 22. "The light of the body is the eye, and if it is therefore your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23, but if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You need to learn to lay up treasures in heaven by denying yourself daily and lose something for doing the will of God instead. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You will never run out of anything by sowing or giving away good things. The kingdom is there to multiply everything based on faith, expressing itself through love. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 32, if you love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Getting more by giving is not normal in this selfish world, but is possible because of the kingdom of God now. Jesus is Lord, and by functioning under him, you can stop being selfish. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Only by making Jesus Lord can you maintain your first love. The church of Ephesus recognized the false teachings of others, but could not see that they still had to ask God everything. When you do something based on what someone else asks of you, it is based on the needs of the one. Only God can decide whether the needs of the one are greater than the needs of the many. He is Lord, and he decides how his pure love is distributed. You will also get an abundance of his love through faithfully serving others as his representative. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3. Thou hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored and hast not fainted. Verse 4. Nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. You are actually sent here by God, who is the source of pure love for all mankind. You were given faith so you could receive the gift of eternal life, get to know him, overcome and fulfill God's purpose on this earth before time runs out. If you have lost your first love, you need to do your first works again. Mankind was separated from God through sin, but that connection can only be restored through Jesus Christ. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verses 1 to 4. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. To complete your calling, you have to go back to what God told you to do in the beginning and get on the narrow way. There will be obstacles and challenges to help stretch your faith and grow spiritually. On the broad road, you will be selfish and serve sin, even if you are born again. Jesus said in Luke 14, verses 33 to 35. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith will it be seasoned again? Verse 35. It is not fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but man casts it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. To be a disciple, you have to stop holding on to what you have. Remember, God is the source of everything good. Your love for him and his command should be much greater than the desire for the nice things he blessed you with. This is a very useful indicator to help you understand that God's love is functioning correctly. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 35 to 38, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36. And a man's foes shall be them of his own household. Verse 37. And he that loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. And he that takes not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. The word variance in Strong's is number 3169. From another word which means to make apart, or that is to make asunder, or set at variance. Jesus came to save those who realized they were drowning slowly through the lust of the flesh, and gave them a chance to start a new life with Jesus as Lord. The word variance was translated from a longer Greek word, including the word for man. The variance talked about here is putting Jesus first, which creates a conflict with the world that is perishing. Your first works includes getting betrothed to him and eventually married in heaven. Those who abide in Christ are predestined to become part of the bride. The only condition to being the bride is that you abide in Christ and maintain Jesus, your first love, by following Christ. We read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Marriage in the Bible between a man and a woman only works with Jesus at the center in a three-way relationship. Jesus should be confirmed as the first love of the man and the woman separately beforehand. Even at the point of marriage, these conditions are rarely met. In this selfish world, each person in a partnership is encouraged to develop feelings for the other partner to make a lasting relationship. Without Jesus as the first love, marriages today based on selfish love are heading for divorce, even in many churches. Man's love is selfish, but God's love is pure. My wife was not interested in me when we first met, but I saw that she loved Jesus with a passion more than me, and this is what drew me to her. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, 8 and 9. This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Some do not believe God's ways are higher. They know this truth in their mind, but they do not believe it in their hearts. Those born again do have access to that pure love by grace through faith, but do not access it by humbling themselves and use their own selfish love instead. Your love for Jesus should be uncompromisingly evident to all by your desire to hear his voice, obey and keep his commandments. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is First John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Whosoever therefore believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loves him that he begat loves him also that is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You may have fallen in love with God and because of what he did for you. But love in any relationship has to go both ways. He provides the pure love you need in abundance so you can love him back through keeping his commands and following Christ. John did not say you have to ask for a command, but you can. He did say, however, when your love is working properly, you will keep his commandments. Keeping a command can start as a thought from God in your mind. It can be a thought as you turn your heart to God, but it can also be asking him to give you a command. All these forms of communication are valid, but your mind has to be peaceful and not be attracted to the cares of the world. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." When I hear a thought that I know came from God, I ask, "Do you want me to do this for you, Lord?" I do this just to get a confirmation. When I ask, then the Spirit bears witness in my spirit. Then I obey in faith based on what the Spirit confirmed. You will need an abundance of love to keep his commands. So keep obeying his every commands and you will never run dry. John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. For more information on how to develop your love through his commandments, please read the book, How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. If you're still making the decisions with your own mind, that shows you love yourself and are listening again to your own opinions. If you believe he really loves you, then you will make him Lord of your life. James said in James chapter 1, verses 25 to 27, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious and keeps not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The word perfect is number 5046. It comes from another word which means complete in various applications. It means to be full of age or perfect. You should be looking into the mature law of liberty and be doers of the individual commands Jesus gave you each day, and do whatever is necessary to follow Christ. Christianity is a relationship with God. You cannot keep God happy with some religious works that are pure in themselves. Even in the early church, the only activity that was still pure at that time was orphans and visiting widows. Today, orphanages that started with some good intentions have become corrupted, with donations being consumed by those doing the work instead. The world has contaminated nearly everything good, but there is no excuse for those in the church, as we have the Holy Spirit to confirm what is pure. Paul said in Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. When you deny him being Lord of your life, you are not pure. and you are abominable according to Paul. There is no maturity in trying to do something good and think in terms of what you can get from serving God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Only God can do the work in us and through us that will please him. This is another reason why he must be Lord to maintain the first love. To think that you can use your mind to do something that would please God is absurd. Without carefully listening to God and getting the details, you cannot please God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith will it be made salty again? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. If your Christian works are no different to the charitable works done by those not born again, then you will soon be trodden underfoot. In the Amplified Bible, Philippians 2 and 12 says, therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. You are supposed to use God's gifts and grace for completing your salvation. If you've made your life comfortable here on this earth through the talents God has given you, this is also a misuse of God's grace. Repent. He also gave you weaknesses to help you work out and complete your salvation in fear and trembling. We read in Psalm 1. I'm reading verses 1 to 6. This is Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. His commandments are now available by the Spirit with love from Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It helps also if you write down his commands as you receive them. During the day, remember what God has said to you to do each day. Also at night, look at where you miss the Lord and his timing, and meditate on his commands for you and how you can do them without grumbling and complaining. His commands might even be what time you get up and what time you go to bed. There should be at least five simple tasks he wants you to do each day. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This is 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Those following Jesus seek him for commands and overcome the world because God's ways are not contaminated by the world. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. In the Amplified Bible, John 5:30 says, I'm able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I'm taught by God, as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge, and I decide as I'm bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is just or right, just or righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Jesus is our example, and you should be operating the same way as him regarding everything that is in this world. Jesus called himself the Son of Man for this reason, and he was devil-proof. It was not because he was using his divinity. The devil could not find any place in Christ because he was using this operating system. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus' love for the Father and doing his will made no room for the devil. The apostles in the early church also had priorities and did not forsake the teaching of the word to do charitable deeds instead, like some denominations today. We read in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 to 6. This is the book of Acts, chapter 6, starting in verse 2. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. You cannot do anything without God's confirmation. Something might be needed, but we need God's priorities. In the ministry, we say good is the enemy of best. At salvation, you should have experienced his love and started seeking God for commands. If, however, you did not repent of dead works when you came to Christ, you will still be tempted to do unprofitable ministry of any kind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. When you do a dead work, this does not profit you, and it does not profit the kingdom either. Even great acts of ministry have no value if God did not tell you what to do, when, and how, because it was not done out of love. Understand that something can be good, but not profitable. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In Hebrews 5 and verse 14, Paul is using a different word that is translated as good. In Strong's, it's number 2570. It doesn't have a source properly, but it means beautiful, but chiefly good, morally or literally, but it means valuable or virtuous. The word good meaning here means valuable, and it's used in Matthew's gospel in many places. By implication, this word good means healthy, wholesome, valuable, fit for the master's use. Good in this context is doing that which is pleasing to God, valuable or virtuous. The word evil in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 also is number 2556. And it's apparently a primary word meaning worthless. Intrinsically, it means depraved or injurious, bad, evil, harmful, even wicked. You must do everything in the Spirit. Examine your own fruit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, and know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It's from some other words which means unapproved, that is rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally, a castaway, rejected or reprobate. You might not see yourself as a castaway or reprobate. However, Paul told everyone that is born again to examine himself or herself. Jesus said in John 14, verse 21 to 23, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm starting in verse 21. He that hath my commands and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Even the disciples did not understand the principles of getting to know Jesus and the Father through seeking God for commands. They had been with Jesus for about 3 years and still did not understand his teachings. In the upper room, they were still using their minds instead. Unless you are keeping the specific commands of Jesus and the Father, will never be resident in you. This is part of seeking the kingdom of God first. We read in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, starting verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. Verse 10. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Verse 11. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus did everything out of love for his Father by fulfilling the Scriptures. He never sinned and submitted to the plan to die for the sins of the whole world. You were also sent here, separated from God through sin, but now through the cross, you have an opportunity to get connected to God and do his perfect will too. Jesus did not start his work until he was 30 years of age. Most of us have had at least 30 years to make Jesus Lord of our lives, deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. If you have not done this yet, it's because you believe a lie instead. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, and you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. These things write unto you that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God does not have any hidden agenda or want to control anyone for his own purposes. The devil is evil. God is love. But the devil is able to get mankind to believe lies about God instead. Those who listen to the devil and follow the pleasures of the flesh believe that God is a hard taskmaster, or that his commands are grievous. Carnal Christians believe a lie that keeping the commands of Jesus is restrictive, unnecessary, extreme, or radical. They rather believe the devil's version of freedom because secretly they want to do what they want to do anyway. However, doing what seems right does not lead to life. But many are stubborn, trying to prove God is wrong and accumulate riches. But God will not be mocked. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 16. This is Proverbs chapter 14. I'm starting in verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. Verse 16. A wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. God is not the problem. Man is the problem. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 17, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 13. But let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Many go back to the flesh to get the things they want instead of seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. To seek anything other than God's will is a crime and shows a lack of wisdom. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Make no excuses. God will provide everything you need for this life if you are seeking his righteousness and not assuming you're already righteous. Also, you need to seek his kingdom through personal commands he is giving you now. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 24 to 29, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much more than them? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28, and why take ye thought for clothes? Consider the lily of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. For you to maintain your love for God, you have to stop seeking other things, thinking, worrying, and caring for things that you might need, and seek his kingdom first. Some think that they can devote some of their time to seeking God and still look after their own interest. But this is a lie. The truth is, many want to serve God in their own terms and the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Everything you need is in Christ. By asking God everything out of love, you are sowing love into God and getting love back, so you do not burn up or burn out. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 to 29, I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and every one that hears these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What Jesus was teaching was very different from the Pharisees. They were putting another burden on the people with more rules, so that Judaism became a long list of religious observations to be kept. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, starting in verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, verse 8, these people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The religious leaders in Jesus' time were servants of the devil, offering a counterfeit version of the truth, not based on personal revelation of his commands, but man using his mind. Even today, those trying to understand the scriptures are bringing division in the church, which is a fruit of the devil's work. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Church people determined to do the minimum they have to make heaven, hire blind leaders to speak in the church today. They do not want to be told about the narrow way. And if they can do away with self-denial and the cross, they will even encourage arguments that what Jesus said was not accurate, so they can still fulfill some worldly pursuits. In the book Gilded Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 5, on page 47, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Spiritual laziness affects believers in many ways. Ask the Holy Spirit if any of these attitudes manifest in you. Number 1, you have low expectations of receiving God's promises because you believe you did not deserve His love or blessings. Number 2, you do not pursue God's plans because they require you to repent and change. Number 3, you are too lazy to study the Bible. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Number 4, you are unwilling to develop the heart of a soldier who destroys the works of the devil. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Number 5, you are a lukewarm believer. Revelation 3:15-16. If you are still blind or willfully ignorant of the truth, you are already on a way that seems right. The foundation that God is setting for you requires Jesus to be your first love. We read in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15-18. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 3, starting in verse 15. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot." Verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and know not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Verse 18. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white clothes, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou may see." What Jesus said here, he said to all the churches. If you are still lukewarm, then you cannot help others, and Jesus will spit you out of his mouth. As a motivational speaker, you are even doing damage. What you are telling others is false or legalistic if it's not dealing with repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Those convicted over doing dead works will not be able to please God if they cannot hear what God wants them to do. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, "So then, those that are in the flesh cannot please God." If you are motivating people to try harder or get in the Word, this is just another work of the flesh. If Jesus is not the first love, religious efforts will only create another denomination of the devil in the body of Christ. If it's not founded on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the people will eventually die and give up because they do not have that love in abundance. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with a loving God. The apathy in everyone's lives comes from losing the first love, and they need to repent and do their first works over again. Jesus continues in Revelation chapter 3, verses 19, I'm reading to verse 22. This is the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting verse 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Verse 21. "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." Verse 22. "He that hath an ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." This is an end-time offer you should not turn down. It involves repentance and chastening. The flesh will not be comfortable. You have to stop using your mind, open the door of your heart, and be spiritually active. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. When Jesus overcame, he sat down. He did all the hard work, dying on the cross, but is still making an effort to reach out to those born again in the church who are apathetic and too lazy to answer. Jesus gets up from the position he deserves and is knocking on the door of their hearts in Revelation 3:20. All you have to do is open the door and learn to hear his voice and obey by following him. Jesus said in John 10:27 and 28, this is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. If you learn to hear his voice, then you will have the same intimacy that those disciples were promised in the upper room. But if you sit and ignore the correction and the knocking, you will perish and there will be no more grace. Only those who hear, know, and follow Jesus will never perish. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you come to him and make him Lord, he will make an everlasting covenant with you. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting in verse 1. Lo, every one that's thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Those who are hot during a time of ministry cool down very quickly and become lukewarm. Do not deceive yourselves thinking that great acts of ministry can replace the need to establish Jesus as Lord of your personal life too. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Noah Webster in 1828 defined iniquity as a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or a crime, a wickedness, or any act of injustice. A high percentage of those born again will be left behind, according to Jesus, who rely on vainglorious acts of ministry instead. You will never be faithful in your calling or ministry if you are still making excuses for not hearing his voice daily. In the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Edgecott writes, the root of all sin is your lordship, along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh, or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. Your love for Jesus will cool down very quickly if you keep doing things without asking God based on your personal needs and desires. It may not appear like you have committed any obvious sins, but actually you do not trust the Lord with all your heart. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, on Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1, on page 15 and 16, Joseph Hedgecott says, it is time to go back to the first works. I strongly encourage you to read this book as if you are starting over. Even if you are a seasoned, mature minister, go back and make sure the first works are established in you. Remember that your trust in Jesus is directly proportional to the level you have fallen in love with him and know him. When you love him unconditionally, you will acknowledge him in all your ways and obey him because you trust him with your whole heart. You only trust God to the level that you love him. You might believe that God loves you, but if you do not trust him, you are deceiving yourself. Jesus has to be functional Lord, but also your first love. Your foundation is built on two things, not one thing. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, I'm reading verses 42 to 45. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Verse 45. When the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. If you start your day with him as Lord, and he is no longer Lord of your life at the end, you moved away from the foundation you started with in the morning. Your decision to make him Lord was not solid because you are looking at the things of the world and start thinking about this rather than meditating on what God said for you to do. You will be contaminated by going too deep into this world, where you will be infected by the lust of the flesh, just like some killer virus. Do not get too close. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 26 and verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You will overcome this world by faith in what God is commanding you to do now. The world is corrupt throughout, so it cannot be overcome by listening to human discernment. When you walk with the Lord, you have to make no excuses for sin. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. He will show you the missing pieces on how to obey God faithfully when you have the right motive and the right attitude. He does not show you the whole picture, as this would not require faith. Also, by seeking God for commands, you are sowing love and getting love coming back, especially when you do not understand. If you're not overcoming the world, it is because you have lost your first love. God's plan and purpose is pure and not contaminated by this world. You only need three things to walk with God and finish your race. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child and understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then I shall know, even also as I am known. Verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Those in love appear foolish. They even talk of nothing else but what they like doing or their favorite hobby. Once you come to Christ, it should be hard for you to stop speaking about what Christ has done today. Some find comfort by thinking about certain things because they do not have a close walk with the Lord. Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. To set your mind on things above is a command, not a suggestion. My mind is always set on things that he has given me to do. This does not mean I do not think about other things. He can change what I think about to something else that needs my attention. He is Lord. To set your mind on things above, I suggest you start with a list of things to think about that he has shown you beforehand, especially when you're going through a time of anxiety. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you keep your mind set on those things above, he can easily drop a thought in your mind. The best way is for your mind to be still and free from fear. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Keeping your mind on him is part of trusting God too. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, I'm reading verses 3 to 6. This is Isaiah, chapter 26, starting in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Verse 5. For he brings down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low even to the ground. He brings it even to the dust. Verse 6. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. He should already be your first love if you've experienced his love personally. We love him because he first loved us. God is the source because he is love. God cannot be chained or tempted to do evil. He does everything with a pure motive, with our best in mind. He is not just thinking about our temporal needs, but also about eternal glory and makes the right decisions. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It seems that some drift back to other thoughts that gratify or help the flesh. When you are idle or going through a difficult time, your mind needs to be still. It might be that you start thinking about your own needs again when there is something unpleasant or difficult that you don't want to do. Repent and confess that you do not trust God. If he told you to do something, then you should want to do this with all your heart. By doing it, you are sowing love. And if you do it with the wrong attitude, then this is not sowing love. Through love, you will be energized. And if you're not energized, you might be tempted to think about other thoughts that gratify the flesh again. One priest who felt worn out from helping others came to me for help. He was even full of fear and went back to smoking cigarettes. I told him perfect love casts out all fear. I explained that if he would seek to do things out of love for God and keep his commands, he would never feel lonely or empty again. I explained that God would tell him what time to get up and what to do every day. He started asking God small things and did them. The priest afterwards said that the teaching was very practical and he just started doing the things for God to show love for him. He soon stopped smoking and his whole life was turned around and all fear was gone. Some people do get some comfort or pleasure from thinking about certain things, like hobbies. Instead, we get our comfort from the Holy Spirit giving us his commands and through it maintain God's peace. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily and experience your salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from trusting God with all your heart. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. This message today was for those who have a heart after God, who wanted to have that first love working again properly in their lives. You've heard about how God's love is the source, that he loves us and he is working in our behalf. He does nothing with a wrong motive. His heart is for you. And Paul experienced that for himself. And my prayer for you right now is that you will experience that for yourself by opening your heart to God, not letting fear fill your heart. Instead, take these simple commands I've talked about and do them out of love for him, and your love will grow. And as you do more for him, you'll start to see that plan unfold. And you will not be like those disciples in the upper room trying to understand the things of God with your mind. Instead, you will start to see the plan come together because you have carefully listened to his voice and done the things that he told you to do. Let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, there are people listening to this message, and I know they want to be free from fear. They want to live by your commands. I'm praying especially for them, that they will not turn back, that they will keep obeying you, even though they don't know where they're going. They're trusting you. Father, I pray you encourage them and strengthen them as they get on that narrow way and follow you. I pray for them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. You will find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below, either directly or via link to our website. Afterwards, there will be our contact details as well. Please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you for listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.